स्वयं पर्सनली यदा व्हेन अचरत विल ट्रेवल क्षमाम ऑन द अर्थ अविश्यहम इररेजिस्टेबल अजौ इन द बैटल तदा एट दैट टाइम निलिलियुः विल हाइड देमसेल्व दिशि दिशि इन ऑल डायरेक्शंस असंतः डिमोनिक मैन लांगुलम टेल उद्यम्य कीपिंग हाइट यथा एज मृगेंद्रः द लायन Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki translation. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bull, and is irresistible in battle, all demonic rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all direction. Purport. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues, thieves and other demonic people in the state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus, it is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. Namo Magyanana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tashme Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण. सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग द ग्लोरिफिकेशन ऑफ किंग प्रिथु बाय द प्रोफेशनल रिसाइटर्स. टेक्स्ट 22nd, it doesn't have any purport, so just I'll read it. Text 22. This king, the protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will travel the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountain with his powerful thunderbolts. So in this particular verse, text 22, Maharaj Prithu, he is compared to Prajapati demigods. Prajapati means protector of subjects, one who protects those people who are dependent on him. Praja means all subject. In broader sense, Praja means all living entities who have taken birth in this material world. All embodied conditioned souls, they are considered to be Praja. And Pati means one who takes care of Praja or the living entities. Generally, Praja, they surrender themselves to king, pay tax, expecting that king will protect them, king will maintain them, king will fulfill all the necessities of their life. It is the duty of the king that no one in the state should be unemployed. Everyone should get employment, everyone should get food. That is the duty of the king. So here Prithu Maharaj, so the reciters, they are saying that King Prithu will fulfill all these conditions. When Prithu Maharaj, he was enthroned, At that time there was scarcity of grains. No food grains were available at that time. Mother Earth was not producing sufficient food grains. And actually people were starving. They became skinny. They became thin. Actually they were dying. So they went to King Prithu and told him, "My dear king, my dear Prithu Maharaj, you are our Prajapati, you are our king. So it is your duty to feed us. You do something. We are dying, we are starving. If you won't maintain us, who will maintain us? If you don't maintain us, who will maintain us? We have surrendered ourselves to you." Like, there are six symptoms of surrender. So one of them is that only Krishna can maintain us, or else no one can maintain us. Either Krishna can protect me or no one can protect me. If Krishna wants to kill me, then nobody can save me. If Krishna wants to protect me, then nobody can kill me. That is a symptom, one of the symptoms of surrender. Similarly, your subjects or the those people, they have surrendered themselves to the honest king and expecting from him that he will maintain them. And also knowing that if this king cannot maintain us, then nobody can maintain us. So they requested king to this eradicate or to solve the problem of food. So Maharaj Prithu, he started thinking. And he came to know that Mother Earth, she is not producing sufficient food grains. Mother Earth is the cause of this starvation. Mother Earth is not giving adequate foodstuffs. So he became very angry at Mother Earth. Immediately he took up his bow, his arrow, he fixed his arrow on his bow, and he was ready to release the arrow on the Mother Earth. And when Mother Earth saw this, she became fearful. She became afraid and she ran away. She took the shape of a cow and she ran away. But King Prithu didn't let her go. He also chased her. Wherever she went, King Prithu just chased her. He was ready to kill her. He was determined that I would kill you. And Mother Earth said that I'm like a big boat on whom everybody is resting. I'm the resting place of all living entities. Every living entity rests on me. So if you break me into pieces, where will they rest? Where will they take shelter? They will drown. How can you save them from drowning? And Maharaj Prithu said, "You don't worry. I am God. I have my mystic power. By my mystic power, I will uphold them." That was his power. He was king. He was actually God. So he could do that. So ultimately Mother Earth, when she understood that she cannot escape from King Prithu, she surrendered. And she agreed to give whatever she had in her womb. Whatever foodstuffs, whatever grains, whatever herbs, medicines she had, she agreed to give. But she said, "You know why I stopped giving this food grains, herbs, medicines? Because now all these things are enjoyed by those people who don't follow dharma, who don't follow religious principle. All these things are now enjoyed by atheistic class of men. And kings, they are not taking care. They are not punishing such atheistic class of men. So I stopped giving." So Prabhupada writes in his purport that if everyone is Krishna conscious, then Mother Earth will be happy to produce more and more grains. She will give more and more grains, more and more foodstuffs. So Mother Earth, she agreed that Maharaj King Prithu is a king and he will take care of everyone. Everyone will become Krishna conscious. So she agreed to be milked. So she said, "You arrange one milking pot, you arrange one calf, and you arrange a person who can milk me. You arrange these three things and you milk me, no issue." So Prabhupada writes that when calf is there, so this cow automatically gives enough sufficient milk which human being can use. So that, like here it is mentioned, for the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. So Mother Earth, she agreed to be milked. So different different people came and they milked the Mother Earth. So a beautiful description is given from which we can learn many things. So it is described that Swayambhu Manu, he became the calf, he became the bachada, and he milked. What did he milk? He milked herbs and grains, which was required at that time. And he kept that in a cupped hands. That was the pot. And then all the sages, they met Brihaspati as calf, they met Brihaspati as bachada, and they milked all knowledge from Mother Earth, which purify the body, mind and soul. And they kept, and they made senses as a pot. Like when we receive knowledge through our senses. So senses, through senses, we can receive knowledge. So these senses are like pot where we can keep knowledge. It may be eye, it may be ear. And then it is mentioned that demigods, they made Indra as calf, and they milked what? Beverage Soma, which is nectar actually. And by drinking that nectar, they became strong, sensually as well as physically and mentally also. And then demons, they made Prahlad Maharaja's calf. And what did they milk? They milk beer and liquor, I think liquor. They milk beer and liquor. So from these descriptions we can see that Mother Earth is same. There is same, the same Mother Earth gave different different things to different different people based on their requirement, based on their desire, based on their need. Similarly, we can compare the process of chanting like Mother Earth. This process of chanting, it is like Mother Earth, which can give what we desire. Whatever we desire, Mother Earth can give. This process of chanting, Harinam Prabhu can give us based on what we desire. If we think, if we want material things, if we have material desire and chant, keeping material things in our heart, keeping material desire in our mind, chanting will give us that. That is assured. Like whatever seed you sow in the earth, that tree will come out and you will get that kind of fruit. If you sow the seed of mango, you will get a mango tree and then mango fruit, and then you can relish it. If you sow the seed of thorn, some thorny tree, if you sow that seed, then you will get a tree of thorns. And then thorn always pinch, it always trouble, it always prick, you know. So whatever desire we have while chanting, that will come out. And if we have material desire, we cannot achieve Krishna, we cannot have Krishna Prema, we cannot relish love of Godhead. Like Mother Earth, different people, demigods, they got nectar from it, they got amritatva, amaratva, immorality by drinking that nectar from the Mother Earth. And demons, they milked what? Liquor and beer. If you drink liquor, beer, you are more and more entangled in this material world, which is full of miseries. So both the people, demigods as well demons, they derive different different things from the Mother Earth based on their desire. So any person who complain that since so many years I have been chanting and I am not getting any rasa, any prema, any bliss, it means this chanting is of no use, this chanting, it doesn't have any power. No, first let us see ourselves, where we are going wrong. Am I following the process perfectly? Am I following the process rightly, in a correct way, as given by our sages, as given by our acharya? Like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describe what is pure devotional service. Anya vilasitam sunyam jnana karmadinavritam anukullena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That one should have no desire. One should have no desire other than desire to please the Lord. If you do that, then only you can get unadulterated bliss, unadulterated happiness. Otherwise there is no hope. Like Srimad Bhagavatam describes, first canto, second chapter, it describes that devotional service which we render to the Lord should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahetuki apratihata yayatmasu prasidati. Right. Savai kumsa paro dharma yatha bhakti adokshaje ahetuki apratihata yayatmasu prasidati. If devotional service is ahetuki, without any material desire, and it is uninterrupted, then only yayatma suprasiditi. Then only it can satisfy the self. Then only a person can be happy, a person can be blissful. Otherwise there is no chance. If we have material desire and we are chanting, and we chant for millions of years, we'll get all material happiness, but we won't get Krishna prema. We will never get love of Godhead. So this seed of material enjoyment we already have. Since time immemorial, we have been accumulating this seed of material desire. Already we have. As soon as we take birth, our parents, they start giving us seed of material enjoyment. Oh, you have to become doctor, you have to become engineer, you have to earn a lot of money. Right? They already start giving us all seeds of material enjoyment. But nobody gives us the seed of devotional service. No one can give us. Only Krishna and his devotees, they can give us the seed of devotional service. And if we take that seed and keep it in our heart and then chant, then the Bhakti Lata creeper grows. They said that where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very beautifully, he instructs Rupa Goswami about the process of devotional service. So he says, Brahmite Brahmand me kaun bhagyavan jiv, Guru Krishna prasade paye bhakti lata. There are so many millions and millions of conditioned souls wandering in this material world. And one who is fortunate, a person who is fortunate by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, he gets the seed of devotional service. And if we take that seed of devotional service, we put it into our heart and water it by the process of chanting and hearing, then that creeper will grow. That creeper will grow. And if we continue to do that watering process by chanting and hearing, that creeper will go high and high. It will cross the material universe. It will break, it will penetrate all the covering of material universe. It will go beyond that. And it will go to Brahma Jyoti. It will cross Brahma Jyoti. It will reach the Vaikuntha planet. It will cross Vaikuntha planet. Those who are Krishna Bhakta for them. Then it will reach Golok Vrindavan. And there it takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Like Prabhupada writes in his purport that creeper generally in this material world takes shelter of some tree. Similarly, this Bhakti Lata creeper, the seed of devotional service, the creeper of devotional service, it also requires some support. If someone say that I will perform bhakti independently without any help, he is insane, he is a fool. Nobody can do that. It's impossible. We require some support. That's why association of devotees, that's why this is ISKCON. So creeper, because it is spiritual, it cannot take shelter of any material object. It can take shelter only at the lotus feet of Krishna. And once it reaches at the lotus feet of Krishna, then it bear fruits, fruits of love of Godhead. And a person sitting in this material world, right in this material world, sitting here, he can relish those fruits, fruits of love of Godhead. But again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that if person stops chanting and hearing, if he stops watering the creeper, then the creeper wither. Right? Creepers wither. Means even a person is in Siddha stage, even if a person becomes perfect, even if a person achieves perfection, Sri Sri Radha Ras Viharji Bhagwan ki jai, Sri Sri Gaunitai ki jai, Sri Sri Siddharam Lakshman Bhaktanuman ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
So even if a person who achieves perfection and he stops chanting and hearing, he will fall down from the process of devotional service. He will fall down from his exalted path. So if somebody says, oh no, I have attained perfection, so no need to chant and hear. So we can understand, now he is in Maya. No need to attend Mangal Arati, like that. So he is in Maya, as clear as that. So, whatever we sow in our heart, from this episode we can understand, whatever we sow, whatever seed we sow in our heart, that result we will get. If we desire that I should be non-envious and chant, if you sow that seed, if you think I should be non-envious and you chant, certainly you will be free from envy. That is sure. If we desire I should be free from lust and then chant, if we keep that desire and start chanting, one day we will become free from lust. If we desire I want name and fame and you chant, definitely you will get name and fame. If you desire I want women and wealth and you chant, Krishna will fulfill that also. So what is the problem? We can have name, we can desire name and fame, wealth and women and chant. But the problem is, any material thing cannot satisfy the soul. Only bhakti, bhakti to Lord Vasudev, bhakti to Lord Krishna, that can only satisfy the soul. Nothing else. So there is, so if we, anyway we are chanting, so if we chant keeping these things in mind, unwanted things, and then chant, then again we are putting ourselves into more and more miseries, more and more trouble. Because more wealth, beautiful wife, and more name and fame means more problems. Right? And if Krishna starts giving wealth and women and name and fame, it will be like unlimited. Means unlimited problems will come. But if we do it for devotional service, if we perform devotional service, if we desire to attain love of Godhead and then chant, then we will achieve love of Godhead also. Right? So we should desire to clean our heart. Our, all of us are full of contamination of lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, false ego. All of us have. Nobody can claim that I am free from all these things. If someone is free, he should be in spiritual world. Why is he in material world? Except Siddhas, Nitya Siddhas or Acharyas. And by their symptoms we can understand. Otherwise, we should be in material spiritual world. If someone is free from all these contamination, it means we are here, it proves that we are conditioned. We have all these contaminated things. So we should desire that I want to clean all this contamination. And then we should chant. We should desire to chant attentively. We may not be chanting attentively, but at least we should desire. Because unless we desire, how can we chant attentively? So our desire should be that I want to chant attentively and then you try. But if you don't desire even, then there is no hope to improve. If we desire to improve, then only we can improve. If we don't desire, then we cannot improve. So this episode, that milking of earth, we can understand. This chapter will come. That how different people got different things from the mother earth. Similarly, this chanting gives different people different things, what they want. Right? We have seen in our movement also, so many people got different things. Many people got name and fame. They got good wife. They got wealth. And many people got Krishna Prema also by chanting. So whatever they desired, Krishna fulfilled. So again, King Prithu, because Mother Earth requested him that you level the surface of earth, you level the surface so that it is good for agriculture. So Maharaj Prithu, he leveled the surface earth with the pointed ends of his bow. He broke all the hills and made it surface so that agriculture can be done, so that farming can be done. Then again, next verse is there, today's verse, which describes how a king should be, what qualities he should have. Like they said, Prabhupada translate that, when the lion travels in the forest with its tail up, turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls, and is irresistible in battle, all demonic rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. So this is the quality required by the head of the state or head of the king, head of the nation. Because if thieves and unwanted people, if they are not afraid of king, then they will commit all kind of nonsense thing, and people will suffer, subject will suffer. So they should be like lion. Like we see that, and sometimes it is required also, power is required also. Powerful king is required to maintain peace and prosperity. Like sometimes non-violence is required, sometimes violence is required to maintain non-violence. Like from Mahabharata we can see, from the story of Mahabharata, that Arjuna, he didn't want to fight, he was hesitating, but Krishna encouraged him to fight. Because according to scripture, an aggressor must be killed. That is what the scripture says. One, a person who is aggressor, he must be killed. And there is no sin. So Duryodhan, who represents sin, who represents the Kali, he was an aggressor. He tried to poison Bhima, he tried to burn the Pandavas, he tried to disrobe Draupadi Maharani. So he was exactly like an aggressor, and he must be killed. So Krishna encouraged Arjuna that you kill all these people, to the extent that Krishna ordered Arjuna to kill Bhishma Dev also. Bhishma Dev, he was such a great devotee of the Lord, he is one of the Mahajans, one of the exalted personality, one of the authority in the science of devotional service. But Krishna even didn't leave him. Krishna ordered Arjuna that you kill him also. Because Krishna wanted to prove that even if you are a powerful warrior of the caliber of Bhishma Dev, even if you are so much powerful, but still if you take the side of Adharma, still if you are on the side of Duryodhan, if you follow irreligiosity, then you will have to accept defeat. That is what he wanted to prove. So nowadays we don't have such lion-like kings. We don't have such rulers or politicians. All of them, they grew in the family of Vaishya and Shudras, and they have that mentality. And on the strength of oath, on the strength of this politics and what is a democracy, they become king. And that's why we can see so much havoc in our society. Rape cases, murders, terrorists are coming, attacking anyone. Fathers are raping their daughters. All these unwanted things are happening in the society. Why? Because kings are not powerful. As soon as you come to know that this father has raped his daughter, kill him, that's all. Why you have to arrest him, file some KFIR, then go to court? Such a big procedure. It takes years and years. And Prabhupada writes one very beautiful thing here. Unless rogues, thieves and other demonic people in a state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace and prosperity in the state. And again he mentioned a very beautiful thing. Thus it is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. So here Prabhupada discusses when a person becomes unfortunate. So in material sense, when women who are prakriti, when they want to imitate man, Purusha, and everything becomes inauspicious, everything becomes unfortunate. Like earlier, women would not work, nowadays they are working, they want independence, they want liberation. Earlier they had to please only one boss, that was their husband. You please him, and husband will give you all things required for your maintenance. Husband will give you money, progeny, he will maintain you, he will protect you. But nowadays, they have many bosses because they want liberation. Earlier they had to please only one boss, now they have to please so many bosses. Their boss, customers, so many people they have to please. They hang in the local train and travel all the way from Churchgate to Virar. If you see ladies' compartment is full, packed, right? So they want liberation. So when Prakriti wants to be independent of Purush, they have to suffer. And things become inauspicious, unfortunate. Similarly, we, Prakriti, when we wanted to become independent of Krishna, when we wanted to imitate Krishna, our misfortune started. We came into this material world, suffering. And we are still suffering, and we will continue to suffer, unless again we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Like as soon as a wife leaves her husband, her misfortunes begin. Then everyone keeps bad eye on her, everyone tries to exploit her. Because they know now there is no one who is going to protect this lady. So they keep bad eye, they try to exploit her. And in one sense, she becomes prostitute. Similarly, we, when we leave Krishna's lotus feet and we come in this material world, we are being enjoyed by so many people. In previous lives, we have accepted many husbands or wives. In this life, we have accepted some husband and wife. Next, future lives, we are going to accept more husband and wives. It's like a lady changing her husband every night, changing her lover husband every night. That is what we define as prostitute. Right? So similarly, we are also doing the same thing. Last birth we had someone else. This birth we have someone else. Next birth we are going to have someone else. So it's not different. So enough of all this. It's suffering. There is no honor, no respect in this. We left our real husband Krishna. We tried to become independent, and now we are suffering in this material world, being enjoyed by so many people. Even a male enjoy female, female also enjoy male. They both want to enjoy each other. They both want to exploit each other. So since time immemorial, when we came in this material world, just people are trying to exploit us, trying to enjoy us, and we are trying to please them. But still, of no avail. We are not successful in our attempt. Everybody is stressful. Nobody is happy in their attempt to achieve success. So enough of all this prostitution business. Enough, sufficient. Now let us accept our real husband. Now let us take shelter of our real husband, who is Krishna, by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So let us accept him, chant his name, glorify him. It's a duty of a wife to glorify her husband, so we should glorify Krishna and thus attain real peace and prosperity, thus achieve real happiness in the life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Any questions or comments we can discuss?
Can any living person become Karmi, Jnani, Yogi and devotee at the same time, in one lifetime? Like he is partly Karmi, then he is also a Jnani, he is also a Yogi and he is also a devotee. Is it possible, or are there any such examples of the past?
Same person follow the four paths, all the four paths.
All the four,
same person is following.
Master in all the four.
Karmi. See, if we see, by definition, if we go, Karmi and devotee, both are opposite.
Both are?
Opposite.
Uh-huh.
Karmi means a person who enjoys his senses, who wants to enjoy the fruits of his action. Uh-huh. Devotee means a person who gives fruit of his action to Krishna. So how both things can happen simultaneously. Uh-huh. As far as Jnani is concerned, of course, a person who is devotee, he has Jnana of Krishna. As far as yogi, of course, yoga means to connect with the Supreme. So devotees, they are already connected with Krishna. So Jnani yogi and Bhakta can be Jnani and yogi. Vice versa is not true. A yogi cannot be a Bhakta, but Bhakta is yogi. because he is connected with Krishna. And he is Jnani also because he has the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Person. He has got the essence of all scripture.
Right? But like Vishwamitra and Vasishtha ji, Vishwamitra ji and Vasishtha ji, they were yogi as well as devotees. So is that right?
Vishwamitra and?
Vasishtha Muni.
Vishwamitra
and Vasishtha ji.
I don't know much means in this context. But Vishwamitra, eventually he became devotee of Lord Ramachandra. It was so great that Lord Ramachandra accepted him as his spiritual master. And Vasishtha also was from the same, he was Ramachandra's kul guru, spiritual master. So they were devotees.
They were yogi, but ultimately...
Not yogi exactly. Earlier Vishwamitra was yogi. But eventually he became devotee.
So that is possible, no?
In one lifetime you are talking. In one lifetime of definitely all of us were karmi only. Now we are trying to become devotee. I ask whether you are speaking simultaneously a person can be all four or gradually. Of course all of us were karmi only doing or working hard to gratify our senses. Then when we got this knowledge, so we are now trying to become devotee. So you want to speak?
You can do bhakti, and at the same time that bhakti can be mixed with some desire for jnana, or the bhakti may be mixed with some desire to enjoy the result of fruitive activities. And that's known as jnana mishra bhakti or karma mishra bhakti. So like the demigods, they know that Krishna is the ultimate goal, but at the same time they're attached to the results of their activities. So bhakti can be mixed with jnana or karma, but what I think you're trying to say is shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, that's not mixed with any desire for jnana or karma.
Pure devotional service.
Pure devotional service. And that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to endeavor for as his followers, was pure devotional service, not mixed with any tinges of jnana or karma. But you can be a devotee and be tinged.
Thank you. Any other question?
Hare Krishna. You were talking about the women trying to be independent and working, and you also gave an example of women traveling in the trains. So I think we also have to take into account in a country like India, one has to be very careful while forming a view of those actions and those movements, because a lot of time we find women not out of choice working, or not out of, you know, they are forced to work a lot of times because of the inefficiencies or, you know, demonic qualities of their husbands also, or because of the current social, the price structure, the cost structure also. So of course in principle independence is one of the points, but then being compelled to work for the sake of money, that is also a point. So
correct, you are correct. That sometimes it happens, but most of the time it doesn't happen.
Especially if you are talking of ladies, you know.
Most of the time it doesn't happen. So we are discussing about when they voluntarily want to do job outside.
And my question is also, is it, you know, it's also started with the fall down of men first, because as Prabhupada, I remember in one of his purports said that because men wanted to enjoy women on a subtle level, they brought them to the field of work and games and sports and everything. So was that an initiative of men, you think, or?
There can be a detailed lecture on it then.
Okay.
It's a big topic we can discuss, woman liberation and all. My point is that when Prakriti, she wants to be independent of Purush, then her misfortunes start. When we want to become independent of Krishna, our misfortune starts. That was what my point is. There are many things to discuss. Nowadays, situation is such that men are husbands are not so much capable nowadays, but they want to enjoy more, so they push their wife to work. So we are not discussing those things. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And Prabhuji, you mentioned this woeful state of affairs. You described nicely the woeful state of affairs where the populace wants to draw from the land instead of grains and milk, negative things. So I was remembering, I saw a report this week of 500 crores is the tax money they get from drinkers in Pune. So they are tobacco and cocoa and liquor and cloning and everything.
Yes,
Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Where exactly is this pointed end of the bow? Is it in the middle of the bow?
What?
Pointed end of the bow from which Prithumarat pulled the earth.
End of the bow means end of the bow. End.
Yeah. Then this bow is made of horn of goat and bull.
Yeah,
what about the string? What is it made of?
It is not made. At least I don't know. Huh? Made of what? Yeah, I'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Sashmat Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Manande. Hare Krishna.